Radio.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid Peter Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your hosts.
This is not a door to logical sense.
Tim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
It's kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
Kenny Omega.
We are the
power! Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Some people have to learn.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, it's me, the one people like to refer to as the guy who demands you stay off his lawn, the one and only Tim Stein, joined, of course, by the Thunder from Down Under, and I know he hates it when I introduce him that way, the one and only Mace. How you doing this evening, Mace?
Doing good enough. Let's get straight into this thing. Come on.
Absolutely.
Do it, Joe. Let's do it.
I don't know where the hell everybody else is. I think they're having a late dinner, but that's their loss and our gain. Right now, we are actually on the phone. We're talking with, from WWE Tough Enough, the guy is known as AJ Kirsch. AJ, welcome to the program. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're really glad that you were able to take some time out from your busy schedule to join us on the program tonight. Now, I've got one question for you, AJ. Right off the top, what is it with nightclub bouncers becoming professional wrestlers?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like too much of a transition. I mean, as a bouncer, obviously, I get kind of I get wrapped up in physical situations from time to time. The situation, actually, at the club where I work at in San Francisco, we don't have too many physical altercations. We've got a really great staff of guys that are usually able to see a situation before it gets physical and just, you know, calm it down. But in the event that it actually erupts, I mean, it's just, something just goes off my head where it's like, all right, it's go time, and something's got to happen. So, I know a lot of wrestlers before they become, or a lot of wrestlers before they become superstars or anything, they were bouncers, and I don't know, it's just, you know, it's a physical job when it has to be, and it's a world that I'm fascinated by. Like, I actually enjoyed the job a whole lot more when I first took it. It's a great glimpse into just how people think and how they operate, when it comes to things like going out and dancing or trying to get laid or whatever they're doing. So I actually enjoy my the job that pays the bills quite a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a different world, nightclub. And I speak from experience. I used to be a nightclub disc jockey, and that question has always been in the back of my mind, because half the guys that used to be my doorman are now either now currently professional wrestlers or retired professional wrestlers. The fake Razor Ramon, we shouldn't call him that, Razor Ramon too, Rick Titan, was my head doorman at one, you know, and I also worked with Chris Jericho and Lance Storm here in Calgary, so.
I don't know, the pattern continues, yes, I guess I'm just the next one.
There you go, it's all good. Now, you say that you're in Sacramento, California.
San Francisco, actually. At the time when the show was being filmed, I was in the transition from San Francisco to Sacramento, but I've since been compelled to stay in San Francisco.
Okay, San Francisco, California. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly drove you into following professional wrestling, getting into it?
You know, when I was 12 years old, and it was March of 96, I'd been a casual fan during the 80s heyday of Hogan and, you know, Macho and Andre and all those guys. And, you know, so I've been familiar with it, but yeah, I wasn't a hardcore religious fan the way I later became. And I was just flipping through channels, you know, in March of 96 and came across an episode of Monday Night Raw. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen wrestling in a while. I should, you know, give it a look, see what's going on. And to this day, I still have trouble putting into words just how captivated I was by the whole thing. And it was something that I was kind of surprised happened as hard as it did, because I wasn't, as a younger kid, I wasn't that captivated by it. Like I said, I was more of a casual fan than anything else. Mm-hmm. But it was such an exciting time to become a new fan of sports entertainment, because it was just months before the NWO. It was just months before Austin 316 was born. And so to become a fan just as the Monday Night Wars started heating up, just on the cusp of the whole Attitude Era and everything, it was really exciting for me. And the more I watched, and the longer I stuck around with it, the business was changing as I was growing up. So as I was entering my teenage years and everything, the business was getting more in your face and more edgy, and it was evolving right with me, which is why I think it stuck for me, to this very day. I mean, I'm still a huge fan.
Okay, and so when you got it, excuse me, when you got into it, where did you get your training?
I got my training at Pro Championship Wrestling, which is based out of Yuba City, California, about an hour north of Sacramento. And the way I heard about them was pro wrestling had been the dream since I was 12 years old, and as I was going to college at Chico State. You know, I was wandering around downtown one night, and this big dude in a luchador mask was passing around flyers. And I was like, oh, let's see what this is about. So I take the flyer, and it's for a local wrestling show, and they also had a school. So as I was going to college and starting to get my degree in communications, I was also going to wrestling school 3 days a week to, you know, train to learn to become a wrestler.
Okay. And so you wound up in... APW, did you not?
Yeah, I did a lot of work with APW, based out of Hayward, California, kind of in the Oakland area, and had a really good run there as part of a tag team called Ego with Nathan Rules, and our manager was Johnny LaRocca, who's currently a booker at APW. And we had a really, really good run. We had great matches with the New Age Outlaws, America's Most Wanted, back when they were... tag team in TNA, and just APW was great for me, because I was just starting my career in the ring when I started at APW, and so I learned a great deal from wrestling with those guys.
Okay, well, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit talking about the name of the tag team there. I was going to accuse you of having a big ego.
Sorry about that.
No problem at all. What's your biggest claim to fame as a member of the tag team?
Probably having a pinfall victory over the New Age Outlaws. And actually, it was one of those days where just everything was going right. It happened to take place on my birthday, which was great. It was my first main event for APW, which was, you know, just another little notch in the belt. And I ended up scoring the pinfall over Billy Gunn, who was somebody that I had grown up watching. I mean, way back when he was wrestling as part of the Smoking Guns, and then he had the Rockabilly gimmick, and then he was paired up with, Road Dogg to form the New Age Outlaws. So it was just one of those nights where, you know, I couldn't have asked for it to go any better. It was a great, great night.
Oh, fantastic.
You're lucky you pinned Billy, because if you... pin my boy BG, I was going to have to kick you off the show.
I'm glad I'm still on that. I'm glad I got the pin on Billy.
We interviewed BG James a couple of weeks ago on OWW Radio, also here on wildtalkradio.com. So we love the bloke. We're going to have him back eventually. We've got a couple of listener questions coming into us at the moment. Unfortunately, as much as I'm quite sure you are sick of hearing tough enough questions, they are all tough enough related. But
I had a feeling they were coming.
Oh, yeah, they were coming. Go straight out from one of our regular listeners, Jersey Girl, and the question is Luke really the ass they made him out to be on the show?
I get this question a lot, not specifically about Luke, but, I'm asking if the people, how they came across from the show is actually how they were in the house. And I can honestly say as little, they're whittling hundreds of hours of footage down into one TV show. And I can honestly say that the way people were portrayed on the show are pretty much exactly the way they were in the house the whole time. I think Tough Enough, the crew did a great job of actually putting everybody's personality, and, the parts they included on the show is, pretty much how they were in the house. So yes, short answer, yes.
So no manipulation on behalf of the production crew to make anybody look worse than they really were?
No, there was no manipulation on the part of the crew to make anybody appear any their personalities any different from what they were. And I don't think watching the show up to this point, I don't think they put in the effort into actually trying to make someone look better or worse than they were on the show.
Okay. As much as I'm going to go through the listener questions as they do come in through our chat room, I want to know how much actual, training went on with the Tough Enough. There's a couple of people there early on when I started watching it. I reckon they need to go back and start their basics. Did they go through your basic bumps and basic chain wrestling, stuff like that, or was it any pre-install knowledge that you had was what you needed to get on the show?
A lot of the training was stuff that I had done when I was going through my training, and it was, they were treating it as if everybody was starting from square one. For example, those who had no experience, Jeremiah and Rima, they were going through the paces for the first time. And that's where Jeremiah, I think, really shined because he had previous athletic experience and he is an athlete. And Rima, as much of a great shot as she gave it for someone who has zero experience in the ring, her body just wasn't used to that kind of physicality. So for me, a lot of it was review, but you can never learn something good enough. There's always a way to do it better, and so those coming in with some experience had a distinct advantage over those who didn't.
Another listener question coming in from Mazeri, or M-Zeri, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, dude. Who was the toughest person you got in the ring with? Feel free to go either Tough Enough or whole career.
Yeah. Toughest person I ever got in the ring with. They didn't actually show it on the show. This is something that the cameras caught but didn't actually make the show. But they showed Luke rolling around with Steve a little bit, and actually I also had the distinct pleasure of getting in the ring and bumping around with Steve. I wasn't in there for as long as Luke was, but we walked up and chained around a little bit, and so, there aren't many. I can't think of any guys tougher than Stone Cold Steve Austin, so he's right at the top of the list.
Speaking about Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's got to be something that's on the back of your mind. You walk in, and here's the host of Tough Enough, the one, the only, you brought it up. The genesis of Austin 316, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. What kind of an awe factor had to have been there, not just with you, but with everybody in the group?
Oh, the awe factor was definitely there at first. When we walk in and, we didn't see him before he rode up on that motorcycle in the first episode. That's how we all first met Steve on the show. So to have him make that entrance the way he did while we're warming up, and you know, there was definitely that, you know, here he is, he's like standing right in front of me. And again, as a fan for most of my life, it was a little surreal knowing that this was actually going on. But as soon as, you know, you get that out of your head and remember this is a competition, he's a teacher now. He's your teacher. He's the one that's training you, that's evaluating everything you're doing. So it just so happens that he is one of the greatest icons in the history of the business who's teaching you all this. So I saw him far more as a trainer than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
Now you also had other guys coming in almost on a weekly basis. You know, Bret Hart. I think John Morrison was there at one point, but then again, I never really remember John Morrison. Cena came in, and you know, eventually The Rock. Was there any real wow factor with those guys coming in, sort of make you go, wow, I'm really in this world, I really have the shot at the big time?
Yeah, there was. And we had no idea who was coming or when, so every time it was a surprise for us, you know, and we would get little clues, like Steve would be talking about Brett, for example, and he said, you know, he had the greatest match of his career, one of his greatest opponents, and, you know, he mentioned WrestleMania 13. And so those of us familiar with the business and the history of the business are like, oh, he's about to bring out Bret Hart. And so there was that wow factor at first, but then once that set in and he starts talking, again, we're attentive, we're paying attention, and he's just like any of the other trainers where we're just trying to absorb as much knowledge as we can without, you know, I mean, we're all fans, but that, you know, there's that point where we're just no longer like, oh my God, it's Bret Hart, and we're studying now everything he's saying and doing.
And one of my more favorite times, or at least this ended up on my wish list anyway, when the Big Show came in, did any of you sort of, you know, grow a set of nuts and get in the ring with him and go, okay, chop me, big man?
Nobody quite, you know, dropped him out of their pants like that to be like, hey, give me a chop, Big Show. Big Show was, you know, he was really great with lending his time. We were in, small groups at the time, and so he floated around to each and every group, lending his opinions and expertise. And lucky for Eric, he actually got some one-on-one time with the Big Show, and which is anytime you get that kind of attention from a guy who's been in the business as long and knows as much as the Big Show, that's a huge gift. And so no one challenged Big Show to give him a chop, but that would have been ballsy, but probably a bit of a suicide mission as well.
Yeah, well, it was scary enough watching you guys get in the corner with Big Bill running at you like a freight train.
Yeah, yeah, that was definitely a moment where my life flashed before my eyes for a second.
Did you hang on and wait to see how it ended?
What's that?
I say, did you hang on a second to see how it ended? Every time my life flashes before my eyes, I wait to see how it ends.
No. Well, it's not over yet. I still have a lot of life ahead of me.
There you go. yeah, talking about toughening up now, unfortunately, you didn't quite make the cut and kind of sort of were given your walking papers last Monday, correct?
Correct, yes.
And definitely our condolences for that one. But the final three right now, we got Andy, Jeremiah, and Luke left. You got any predictions on who might just wind up winning this one?
You know, if I had to put money on it, I think my money would be on Luke. Between these three guys, he's got the most experience. I think he's got a very marketable look. And everybody I've talked to about the show tells me how much they hate this guy, which means he's already got a relationship with the fans. And the fans are already emotionally invested in him, which, you know, sometimes takes months or years for guys to accomplish. So that's why if I were putting money on it, my money would be on Luke.
Oh, okay. Talking about having relationships with the fans and stuff like that, as we all know, the show of shows, WWE, is famous, or if you will, notorious for selling the sizzle as much as the steak, if you'll pardon
right.
me the metaphors. How much stress do you feel that you had, like that was put on making sure that you could cut that promo properly and really, really, really steer the fans in the direction that you're going to have to get them to go?
What was special about that promo to me is that I meant every single word of it. I think that's why you heard Bill say he believes me. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, all the great promos, you really believed in what, you could tell that they believed in what they were saying, and that means the fans are going to believe in what they're saying. And, you know, I had a couple of rough weeks coming into the promo skills challenge, and I knew I had to come out with something that was strong and straight from the heart and left an impact. And I felt good about it when I walked out of the ring, but when I saw that episode for the first time this past Monday, you know, seeing Bill just steadfast in the ring with his, you know, jaw dropped, he was dumbfounded. And I felt, I couldn't be more proud of the promo that I cut on Monday. And I'm hoping that, you know, it leaves a lasting impression and may eventually lead to a second look.
Do you sort of disagree with Stone Cold eliminating you that week after you did cut a brilliant promo out of those people that were left?
No, I didn't disagree with him. Like I said, I'd had some rough weeks, coming into that skills challenge. You know, I felt like I didn't perform as well as I could have, and I think I could attribute it to any number of things, but the bottom line is I didn't perform as well as, I needed to stick around. And, you know, Luke was doing well. Jeremiah's a freak athlete. And, you know, Andy hadn't been in the bottom three at that point, and I had. So I didn't disagree with him. I completely understood why. But, you know, I've never been more driven, more motivated than I am now.
Now, just wondering, like, over the, you know, you've done this for, what were we up to when you got eliminated? Week 7 or something like that?
That was week 8.
Week 8, so I knew it was 7 or 8, my counting was off. But, you know, you would have had to have developed some sort of, you know, relationship and camaraderie with the people in there, just like you would, you know, walking into any federation. You know, you get your little backstage groups, people who like each other. Do you keep in contact with anybody that's been on the show, or is it sort of like, okay, show's over, I'm going to go back to doing the indie dates until they turn around and give me a contract?
You know, I actually have kept in contact with a couple of the contestants. Eric and I talk pretty regularly. Martin and I formed a pretty good friendship. And, you know, right now I'm really not sure what my immediate future holds. I'm training like a beast. I'm in the best shape of my life. And, you know, I'm just as eager as everybody else to see who walks away with this thing. And even more eager to see if they can take this opportunity and turn it into something, you know, turn it into something consistent and memorable.
With your elimination off tough enough, there's the slight chance that you might not get the WWE contract, but there's always still chances, always tomorrow, as we'd like to say. Have you put any thought about trying to look into other avenues like TNA, Ring of Honor, some of the NWA affiliates?
I haven't put a whole lot of thought into them because right now I still feel like I'm just on the cusp of making it to where I want to be. I've always dreamed about being a superstar in the WWE. It's the, you know, grandest stage in the world, and that's where that's where I want to be, and that's where I feel like I'll ultimately get. So until the season finale is over and until everything is said and done, right now my focus is WWE.
Let's go slightly into a hypothetical here. You've won Tough Enough. You've debuted in the WWE. You've made a name for yourself. You're standing in the ring at WrestleMania. you could pick any opponent that you could have to have a tear down the house match with. Who's standing across the ring from you?
Current roster or ever?
We'll go ever.
Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is the guy that made me want to get in that ring, and it's no secret that Shawn Michaels always brings his best at WrestleMania. And, you know, even though he's very happily retired, and, you know, if I can model my career after anybody's, I think it would be Shawn, because he was able to have one of the greatest careers in the history of the business and walk away without a single thing being left undone, a single thing he had yet to achieve. And, you know, I don't think that match will ever happen, but if I could choose anybody, it would be him, because I know just for me as a lifelong fan, what it would mean to me, and the match that he and I would have, I think would just be spectacular.
Well, we're starting to get close to our end of time with you, and it's been great chatting with you. You got any shows or anything coming up that you want to publicize? Quick plugs?
Nothing yet. Like I said, my future is still very much up in the air, and I'm just working my butt off in the gym, eager to see what comes, what doors are opened, and I'm going to kick them down. But if you want to keep track of me, you can get a hold of me on Twitter, which is twitter.com/AJKirsch, and Kirsch is K-I-R-S-C-H. Or you can like my fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/AJKirschFan. Any bookings or any appearances will go up on both my Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, I said it on my exit interview from Tough Enough, and I truly mean it. This is not by any means the end for me. And I feel sooner or later I'm going to be in front of that WWE universe.
Well, I think that's I've got more than a strong feeling that we're going to be seeing a lot more of you in the very near future, AJ. I'd like to take this time to thank you very much for coming on the show tonight and having
Absolutely.
A little chat with us. Absolutely.
Oh,
and
it was my pleasure, guys. I'd love to do it again.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you've got our phone number. We'll make sure that you have it. You're more than welcome to call in anytime you want just to say hi and hang out with us. How's that sound?
I like that. Thank you very much.
Hey, not a problem at all. Everybody, AJ Kirsch, late of Tough Enough, possible potential future WWE superstar right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to thank all of those of you who have tuned in for the first time to catch the show for tuning in. And checking out the interview. Stick with us. We got a lot more show to go. And we're going to take our first time out of the interview. We're back right after this.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh, my God, this is awesome. So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make Steve turn blue? I don't want Steve turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seemed that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Morton. I thought he was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open.
What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Damn, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. Get it? Alright, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking. I'm about to get fired by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live. Midnight, we're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moves. I said,
And welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio. We're right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I suppose I'll bring the show in, seeing as Tim's too bloody lazy.
I was just about to. When you started talking, Mr. Oh, I can't wait. I have got no patience.
Whatever.
Just saying. Yeah, so with the Spud Guy and Omega MIA, I think we might actually have a fun show tonight. No shot against Omega, of course.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. Anyway, that was a pretty entertaining, albeit somewhat short interview with AJ. I'm looking forward to talking to him again, Ace.
Well, he said he was willing to come back, so we'll bring him back, and hopefully next time we bring him on, it'll be WWE Superstar AJ Kirsch.
Yeah, now all we have to do is get around all the censors on that one, and we'll be good to go.
So, yeah, can't call them wrestlers, can't refer to them as wrestling, can't call them World Wrestling Entertainment. Yeesh.
You can't use the word wrestling. That's stupid. I mean, you know, you have to give it to TNA, you know. Literally capitalizing on the fact that Vince has basically banned the word wrestling and all of its derivatives. And TNA pushing that in the forefront, wrestling matters.
Well, it seems to be paying off. They got a whole 0.02 increase in their ratings this week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with this whole rebranding and supposedly new concept that they're going with. It's almost like a reboot. When you stop and you think about it, going from TNA Impact to Impact Wrestling on Spike TV. So,
well, I suppose TNA is in Universal, and as Universal is one of those companies that loves their reboots.
Yeah, this is dangerous. How many speaking about reboots, not to get OTL on you, but how many reboots have we seen in the last 5 years?
Way too many. Not only in movies, but in video games as well. I was watching Game Trailer's top 10 most anticipated games of E3, and every single one of them was a sequel or a reboot. It was ridiculous.
Sequel.
Originality is dead, people. Prepare for your gray suits and robotic noises.
There you go. Yeah, sequels I could deal with. Reboots, it starts to get annoying after a while. I think that I hit my threshold when they rebooted the Hulk.
Yeah, well, I'm sick of reboots. But I like my dinosaur boots.
You like dinosaur boots?
I have dinosaur feet slippers.
I see. Well, speaking about dinosaur boots, let's welcome now the host of OWW Radio, Mr. Alan, what's his last name? Why'd you dance with someone? Huh?
Hey, only Johnny Devine gets to screw that up now.
Yeah, that... it's Alan Wojcik. Even that joke's getting old, Tim. Jeez.
Yeah, well.
So I unfortunately apologize for missing Mr. AJ. Unfortunately, Miss Abby was not a big fan of sleep time. So from 8:15 to 10:15, it was a battle of that.
Oh, that's perfectly okay. We spent the last 5 minutes actually doing the interview you were planning on doing on OWW Radio on Tuesday, to tell you the truth.
That's still up in the air because, I think he just called my cell phone when I logged on with you guys. So,
okay, so it's not confirmed, and I shouldn't say who it is, huh?
No, I already got two confirmed that I can talk about later on tonight.
Okay. Well, that being said, you know, definitely that one interview could swing either way.
I'm sure.
Think about it.
But I'm...
Nothing wrong with that. I'm happy he's coming on.
Okay, yeah. Of course, I'm referring to TNA Super. Wait a minute. He's not a superstar because he works in TNA, right?
I don't freaking.
They're not allowed to use the term superstar because they're not WWE.
Fine. I'll mention it. Tuesday night, if you know the name Altar Boy Luke or Luke Hawks as he is currently known as. Him and former WWE United States Heavyweight Champion and current TNA star Orlando Jordan together have opened a school called Wildcat Sports and Entertainment that's in Louisiana. I can't remember the exact city. They will be joining us during the 10 o'clock hour of the program. We'll have 30 minutes with each gentleman as well.
Well, that's absolutely cool, and I'm looking forward to Tuesday. But in the meantime, and in between time, I hate to do this, but we're going to talk a little bit about Michael Cole, guys.
Yay. Oh, goody. Get the barbecue sauce ready.
Yeah, I hate to do this because I'm sick and tired of this. God, anyway. There we go. The return of quote unquote the old Michael Cole, which, I'm still, not too sure about that. But how do you think they handled his apology, following the pay-per-view, Mace?
Well, he did the apology and it's like, okay, let's sit down and do that. Go back to the old ways. Well, there's going to have to be some sort of, at least a little bit of tension between Lawler and Cole after everything that's happened. Because you got to remember, this is one win Lawler has over Michael Cole out of, what, 3 matches total they've had this year?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not even. I reckon King's still got to beat the crap out of Cole just on principle.
Just one
more
time.
Not using a tie this time with his fists of faith.
And I got a funny feeling that you're talking shoot and not work, but... What do you think, Alan? Was it done properly, or Mace got a valid point? There's got to be some lingering tension, and something has to be done to finally resolve this?
It was ridiculous. I can't believe that all of it was almost like we talked about this Tuesday night. We were just sitting there going, okay, so the last few months just didn't happen at all. This isn't Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the film. Yes, movie reference. I get another one and a name drop later on if you're keeping score at home, where I'm supposed to forget all the crap that Michael Cole said about it and, oh, now he's squeaky clean and back to being the voice of the WWE. Get the hell out of here. I don't understand how this guy is even on TV in this capacity at all. You've got Jim Ross. You've got Matthews. Josh Matthews has been there long enough for people. Oh, you guys just talked to AJ Kirsch. Many people don't even remember. Josh was a part of Tough Enough 1.
He was, yeah, he was the original cut from the original program.
Yeah, he was there with Maven and Nydia and all those guys. He was the one that Al Snow was always having fun with. So he's coming to his own as a broadcaster that he's doing really well. And Cole should have just been written off of TV. Why he's still up here, I have no idea.
Well, wouldn't it make more sense for them to have everybody but Josh Matthews basically pick on Michael Cole and just berate him, make fun of him?
Yeah, I don't know. Ow, my wife just headbutted me for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, that's a sign of love. I hear that in certain circles. That's a mating ritual.
Okay, fine. I don't get it. I know I'm repeating what I just said, but I'm still trying to wrap my hands around Waller, the character, is going to go, okay, you trashed my mom, brought my estranged son out here, beat the I just don't get. So we can just click our heels 3 times and everybody goes home with no problem, Mace? I don't get it. I wish I could understand this.
Yeah, well, damn curious. That's all I can say. Did they do the right thing by putting him straight back on the announce table, or makes book the storyline from the pay-per-view onward? What do you do with Michael Cole?
Other than tag him with a dart gun? I don't know. I think he's stunned Mason to silence because he's done mad about this.
Many an Omega video, anybody who does watch TJ Omega on YouTube, I just got package delivered straight to my door. Damn postman stalking me, I tell you.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well, it's Monday morning, so, just keep an eye on the door because I hear the postman always rings twice.
Yeah, second time with an axe or something, probably. just quickly, I don't know whether either of you have watched SmackDown this past week, but there was a segment with Booker T and Michael Cole where Booker T pretty much rubbed Cole's faiths in it, so to speak. I'm sort of thinking that there might be a slight chance that they're going to move into the same type of thing this time with Booker T instead of Jerry the King Lawler. Maybe, I don't know, but it's WWE, they always do things in the nauseam. What was that all?
So are you serious? Do you really want to watch Booker T versus Michael Cole? I mean, if you're from creative, is that the thing? So what's next? We're going to get Matt Stryker involved too, because he's a wrestler. Oh wait, no, I can't say that. Sports entertainer. Damn.
Well, you gotta think. WWE, or at least the creative teams, think that Michael Cole being an obnoxious heel is something that's over, something that's drawing people into the products, so they're going to try and find some way to continue it.
I don't know why, and it's just enough. It's almost... So, like I said, you have to convince your audience that listens. Okay, all of a sudden now, we have to just go, yeah, Michael Cole, none of those 4 or 5 months ever happened. We love you!
Michael Cole, boo. I wish he was dead.
Well, the question that I asked when you were busy answering the door to get your package, which is a really strange sentence in itself. But anyway, I was
never
just saying
it again, Tim.
There you go. Yeah, I was just saying, okay, Mace, book it. What do you do with Michael Cole from the pay-per-view onward?
Well, if I was booking it, they would have had the apology on Monday night. Then I reckon King would have humiliated Cole a little bit more. Cole goes, you know what? Stuff this. I quit. Walks off. Give it about a month. Then you bring him in as the anonymous general manager. You know, it was me, Austin. It was me all along.
Oh, God. All I can do is hope that he doesn't wind up being the anonymous GM.
Stranger things have happened, man.
Jeez.
Michael Adamly doing it for a little while there, didn't we?
Yeah, well, yeah. It was fun of that. I swear.
Compared to Michael Cole, I'd rather sit through Mike Adamly.
There you go. Okay, so what else happened on Raw Monday night? Alex Riley and The Miz butting heads and then butting a little bit more than heads, with Alex Riley basically tuning in The Miz.
He snapped, and it was awesome to watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, can we please have a moment of silence for the career of The Miz, as it is now dead and buried?
Well, that being said, keeping that in mind, my question is, who do we see go face, Riley or Miz?
Riley, obviously.
I think Riley went face the moment he jumped him.
Okay.
I can't see that Mizanin character. I can't see. You see all the great pub and media coverage that Mike Mizanin has done, but yeah. You have to remember that's Mike Mizanin. The Miz is a prick. He will always be a prick. He's not going to be the cool bad guy thing that Austin or the NWO or The Rock were. I think he likes being that a-hole character. I just didn't think, you know, it's like, okay, what, you're having his protege whoop his ass in one night. I don't know how Mace feels about it or the listeners feel about it, but I would have strung this along for a little while and have him cost The Miz something if you were going to have some sort. I mean, you did it a couple of times, Mace, where it's like, okay, yeah, he was in the right place, oh, the phone on the pay-per-view, the championship thing. That's okay, great. You know, have him really cost him this time, saying, look, you know, other than standing over him going, what the hell? Hey, somebody else is here.
Yeah, well, seeing as he's finally joined us from a late dinner or being temporarily dead, I don't know how you pull that one off. We'll ask him about that later on. But Omega, we are just talking about Alex Riley beating up on The Miz. Get your opinion on this one.
The first thing I heard when I came on was something about Mace's package, so I've been kind of zoned out since then.
Woohoo! Well, last Monday night on Raw, we saw Alex Riley turning on The Miz after The Miz basically berated the living shit out of Alex Riley. Instant face pop for beating up The Miz.
It was nice, if, you know, about 3 months late.
Okay.
I think they should have done. They should have done this a while ago. I mean, he should be big enough to not have a flunky, and we discussed that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. The way they do it this time is just, it feels too sudden when they had too much better opportunity earlier on.
Okay, so despite the fact that they did draw it out a little bit with Riley costing Miz here and costing Miz there, you figure that the turnaround was just a little bit too sudden when the payoff finally got here.
Well, until then, I mean, despite, you know, failing the Miz a few times, you know, he still followed him out to the ring. He was still a cheerleader, still rooting him on. You know, he's still all for the Miz, and
yeah.
He only snapped as soon as Miz started getting into his face about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do remember when we started saying it was time to break this two up and let Alex Riley sink or swim on his own. That was, 3 months ago now?
Mm-hmm.
So better 3 months late than never, I guess.
I would have thought it would happen the moment he was drafted to SmackDown. It was like, enough already. There it is.
Don't keep this going,
but they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
WWE drawing a storyline out too long? Really?
No way.
Stunning, yeah. Isn't it?
Which winds up being in direct contradiction to the general complaint most people hear about how storylines and angles don't last anymore.
Well, true, but then again, can you really call it a storyline when it's, I don't like you, I don't like you either, let's fight over a belt?
Oh, there you go. Not really.
Yeah, I'd call it a drawn out storyline if there's like character development, you know, like some kind of progressive story instead of it just happens to be our turn to beat each other up.
There you go. Well, let's take a look at our next WWE topic before we head to our next break of the night. Moving on, Christian continuing to get screwed in his quest for the title on SmackDown. Sheamus becomes the number one contender and gets the title shot next week. Who's to blame for this?
In which regard? You mean in a creative stance?
No, in the storyline stance.
I apologize.
Yeah, well, for those of you who watch SmackDown, are you going to blame Randy Orton or what, you know?
It's got to be Teddy Long. He's the one pulling the strings in the end, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the matchmaker, the general manager. Maybe Teddy's going heel, and this is a way to get him there.
Well, there you go. Speaking about
Christian could go harping about conspiracies.
Jeez, we haven't seen that in WCW.
Brother's keeping the white man down.
Here you go.
Is he going to go back to temper tantrum Christian?
Oh my God! I hope not. Now, does this situation cause Christian to snap and either quickly or slowly? We see Christian turn heel out of all of this mess.
Yeah, probably see Christian turn heel. At least that's the way I thought of it going.
Okay. Now the question there is. Is he going to be a better heel than he is a baby face, or would it be vice versa?
We don't often see a heel Christian, so I want to see what he can do with it.
The only time I can remember seeing him was as a jackass with Edge and the 5-second pose and all that stuff.
When they were still a tag team, yeah, and they turned heel, and you know the whole idea was they were too rich as a shit.
No, back when he still had the operatic theme, he was a heel.
After the Un-Americans and all that stuff.
Yeah. When he was at last on his own.
Oh yeah.
Yes, correct. So we have
sparklers.
We have had glimpses of Christian being healed, but maybe perhaps not enough, Alan.
Yeah, that's the thing. Can he do it again? And there's motivation there, as you said. You know, I'm getting what do I have to do? Do I have to go to a dark place in my mind like Ron Killings, R-Truth is doing? Does he have to go and have the whole thing in his head? And I don't know how Mace or Omega feel about it, but we talked about it after. Mace was very vocal, I remember, on Online World of Wrestling Radio about Edge's involvement in the ladder match at Extreme Rules. So that could be fuel to the fire there.
Yeah. Well, when you stop and you think about it, Christian being heel doesn't, to me, sound like a bad idea at all. I think he'd be able to pull it off quite well. Still talking about his peeps, of course, but at the same time, just really healing out. The question is, can he main event as the bad guy? Will he be able to pull that off?
Would you rather have Mark Henry doing it?
I would rather have Mark Henry
Kool-Aid
at the local KFC enjoying his extra tasty crispy, to tell you the truth.
Or a crap-filled sandwich a la Sean Waltman.
Why do you think they invented the double down, we're using chicken for the bread sandwich?
Mark Henry gave him the idea.
That should have just been called the Mark Henry.
Get rid of the bread.
He's wasting time on the bread. I order four
Unneeded
sandwiches
carbs,
anyway.
More chicken.
Go. See, what could we do to make chicken better? Make two of them and put bacon in the middle.
I had one of those a couple of weeks back. They are tiny and so not worth it.
I always wanted to have one just for this, just to be able to say I had one, but yeah. Then again, I want to live to be 80.
Well,
that's what I did, but it wasn't any good. It was like less than the size of a small dinner plate. It was like this tiny, weeny little thing.
And pricey is all hell to boot, right, man?
Huh?
Pricey is all hell to boot, right?
It was something like nearly $9 for this tiny little friggin' chicken thing that wasn't really worth it, and I still had to go and buy other shit because I was still hungry.
Yeah. Well, here in Canada, they did a limited, one of those limited runs with it just to see how it would sell. But the funny thing about it is, I don't know if they did this in Australia when they brought it out in Australia. They actually had Health Canada issue a warning on this damn thing about how bad it is for you.
No, they didn't do that, but it was still a limited run here. I think it's gone now. I wasn't really paying attention to it. I really cared. It's crazy.
Can't eat nice.
No, I just started laughing my head off. You know, it's a limited time offer, limited time availability. Oh, Health Canada has issued a warning about the KFC chicken breast sandwich. Don't eat it because it'll kill you. That was essentially.
It's limited to how many people that we put in the hospital with it.
There you go. Yeah, no, that was essentially what the warning from Health Canada said. Sure, eat it if you want, but if you die, don't blame us. There you go. Anyway, coming back, talking about Christian. Are we going to see this Sheamus with the number one contendership that he won last Friday? Is that going to go anywhere, or is this a one-off for Sheamus before he gets relegated back to nowhere land?
Have they announced the title? Is he getting the shot at capital punishment? Have they announced that yet?
No, it's official. He's getting it on SmackDown.
Yeah, the title shot is next Friday night.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that one's not going to change hands.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I want to think that it's something like, okay, we'll give him a title match so he has a little bit of credibility here, but at the same time, it's still Sheamus. I don't know how much, the bookers are still down on him or not.
Yeah,
well, he's no longer wearing that, Lord of the Rings leftover gear. So they must like it.
I am the King of the Elephants, the outfit he had.
From Middle Earth and all that other crap, yeah. The thing is, here is basically the main storyline is Christian chasing the title, which I can't say is a bad thing for Christian to chase the title. I really don't think he needs it right now. I mean, I want to see Christian eventually have a nice, decent title run, whether he's a heel or a face. But for this point in time, at least until SummerSlam, let him chase the title. This is just my opinion, by the way. Everybody's got their own and they're entitled to it. But that's got to be the main story, not having Sheamus interfere and have this go anywhere except for maybe Sheamus getting beat down by Christian running out to the ring in the middle of the title match. And I can see this happening Friday night.
So make it, what, a triple threat at the next pay-per-view, him and Sheamus and Randy?
Most likely.
What, so that way they can put the belt on Sheamus and screw over both Randy Orton and Christian?
Or bring a Kool-Aid man in, make it a fatal four-way, and he gets the belt that way, and everybody goes, yay, just so we don't want to have the belt.
The fanboy in me wants to see Christian get a run, but I will admit it is telling a better story to keep it out of his grasp that are in storyline only 5 days of having the belt.
Hey, it worked for Rhino and TNA, didn't it?
Sure it did.
Sure, why not? So anyway, so during this title match, like I said, and I'll make the prediction right now, don't be surprised. And you heard it here first. You didn't hear it on Monday night after Raw or Monday night before Raw. You didn't hear it on OWW Radio on Tuesday. And you didn't hear it anywhere else before next Friday night. If it happens, you know where you heard it from. I'm predicting Christian makes a run-in during the title match, interferes somehow, costs Sheamus the match. Maybe Sheamus wins by DQ. I don't know. But bottom line is Randy Orton, of course, naturally stays world champion. That being said, guys, time to take the next break of the night. We're going to take a little bit of a time out, check our phone messages, grab a nice, frosty, tasty, cold beverage, and then come back with some more news, notes, and roundtable right here on WTR, Sunday Night Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxen Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah, we're back talking a little bit of news notes. Guys, I got to bring this up before we dive in. Ew is all I can say, and I'm sure that it's in the news notes, but I'm leading off with this. Do you remember that video Sean Waltman made with Joni Lahr called One Night in China?
I hadn't, thanks to the therapy sessions, but now...
Now it looks like you're gonna have to book some more time on the couch there, Omega.
Yeah. It's not like this network hasn't made me do it before.
Yeah. So Joni Lahr returns to TNA. She returns to the world of wrestling. Goes to TNA, makes an appearance, but holy cow! She decides to forego wrestling to get back, like to legitimately get into porn.
Which everyone has since come out and denounced, Chief.
I mean, to be fair, I've seen her in other things. I mean, it's the best of her acting ability.
Oh, that was just kind of a low blow, pardon the pun.
No. You know my jokes. That was not a low blow.
I'm sure he could give you one. Give him a second.
There you go.
Low blow would be if this story was about Lita. Then I could give you low blow.
Okay, there you go. Well, I don't know if you guys have heard it or not. They've got a name for this quote unquote legit porn movie that she's going to be doing. Have you heard?
No.
No?
Do we care?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. We're going to find out before the show ends the name of this. I don't know. I guess you can call it a sequel. And once you find out where it is and who gets to answer this, you'll know why I'm not spilling now, as it were.
Is it a valve or an uncomfortable place, like the back of a Volkswagen?
I'm not saying a damn word, Alan. Quit probing.
If it's a sequel, then it's going to be Two Nights in China. Knights spelled with a K, so it's two guys in armor.
So you're thinking DP? That's double penetration for you, not anything goes listeners.
Thanks, Tim. I'm never going to be able to eat again.
There we go. Moving on. All right. So, in an interview with John Pollock of Fight Network, Kevin Nash says he hopes to face Big Show at this year's WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view. Now, is this a match that you guys would be interested in, looking forward to?
10 years ago.
Big Slow against Big Show.
Didn't we have this once and it ended? Yeah, I was about to say, we had this once before and ended up with the Big Show having a brace around his neck for quite a while.
You got the DVD to prove it, boss.
Too true.
Yeah. Now, he said that he was in talks to do something with Show at WrestleMania 27. It almost came to fruition, however. He didn't think it would have been fair to take the WrestleMania spot of another WWE superstar who had been waiting for their first WrestleMania. No names given or hints dropped on that one, guys.
No.
Well, it's at least a little bit respectable if that really is what happened.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. You know, you say whatever you want about Nash. You know, yeah, he's nowadays especially slow and not that good anymore. Not that he was ever the best to begin with. But at least, you know, he's got a good head for the business. And being a friend of Triple H, here's my question. Once Triple H takes all of the reins of WWE, as we all know what's going to happen one of these days, Vince is either going to kick off, shuffle off this mortal coil, or just say, that's it, I'm going to the retirement home, you take over. And that's what's going to happen. Are we going to see or hear that Kevin Nash is in Triple H's ear?
Oh, look at a bang-up job he did in WCW, kids.
Well, hey, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about, Alan. This is what worries me. Kevin Nash, when he was holding the book in WCW, made sure he was put over, his friends were put over, and the people who shouldn't have been put over, who should have been put over, were held back. I mean, it was Kevin Nash who booked Goldberg's first loss in WCW.
To himself.
I always just remember him standing there in the ring, whether you like it or not. I'm next.
So there you go. Yeah, that's the one thing that definitely worries me about Kevin Nash. He's got a great head for the business. The only problem is the view is clouded by him looking at himself before anybody else. Or at least that's the way it has been in the past. Here's hoping that things have changed with Kev, with Big Kev. What do you think?
Now, if he could... Go, Mace.
I didn't say none.
He called on you.
No, I'm not saying shit.
Okay, go ahead, Omega. Sorry. We went at the same time. I was just trying to get Mace involved in the discussion here, but you had something to say and kind of sort of cut you off just as you were about to, and it was unintentional, so go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We've seen Kevin Nash do really good on a side role. You know, either as, you know, a personality on camera. I mean, we could be a manager. Honestly, I'd like him to be the Raw GM at this point. If only because he's been so uninvolved with everything that he might be the only one that could possibly be him at this point. And it just, I don't know, I think he's a good character to have on screen, just not only for the legacy of Kevin Nash, but just for the sake, he's a funnier, interesting guy to hear on the mic.
Huh. You know, that's something that I never even thought about. What do you think about that, Mace? Kevin Nash is the anonymous Raw GM.
As long as he doesn't trip up and blow his quads when he first enters the ring, I'm all for it.
Blew a quad stepping over Booker T. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, no, Mace brought to...
Talk about stepping over the black man to get something bad.
Ooh, there you go. And having it bite you in the ass, figuratively speaking, of course. Now, Mace brings that up, and I immediately went to Vince stomping down to the ring and slipping in his shoes, falling on his ass, and blowing both quads.
Yeah, but that was Vince playing anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. That works on a very subtle level. Good job, Mace. So.
It's just one of the funnier, I just remember the funnier scene. Like, aside from him, you know, sliding into the ring, trying to stand up and going, ah, right away. Trying to cut the Vince McMahon, I am in charge, I have authority here promo, sitting on his ass.
Yep.
Talk about the show must go on. Yeah, you know, Vince really stuck with the whole thing.
As soon as it happened, you could tell it hurt like hell, but he stuck to it. Went right back into character.
Yeah, and I just remember the images of him talking to the ref and what's his name who came running down from the back, and he's got that look on his face, and he's doing everything he can to keep it from actually showing, but the camera still picks it up. The guy's in absolute fucking agony, but he went through with it. You do have to give McMahon props. As much as there are times when we kind of sort of wonder what the hell was he thinking that night. Have you known anybody willing to take the kind of punishment that Vince has put himself through over the years just to get whatever it is he's trying to get over successfully?
Never saw Ted Turner do that, did we?
Never saw Ted Turner.
Yeah. I don't think Abe Sapolsky or Rob Feinstein, when they were starting Ring of Honor, have done it. I know Jeff's done it tons of times in TNA, but
yeah, Jeff's kind of different because, like, Jeff, you know, Jeff is a wrestler first and foremost, who just started the company with his daddy, right? So, but anyway, next on the news item, former WWE Women's Champion Layla announced on her Twitter account she tore both the ACL and MCL in her knee, and she has since undergone surgery. She's ready to heal and come back stronger than ever, and she refuses to blame anybody yet for making it worse after the match with Michelle McCool. She needs time to heal, and she thanks everybody for her support. She's out, and recovery time is expected to be approximately 6 months, which is you know, the standard timeline nowadays when you tear your ACL and MCL. But what does this do to the Divas division on SmackDown?
Nothing, because who cares about the Divas division? WWE sure doesn't.
You got a point.
We're the only ones that care.
There you go. So, yeah.
I fear for Layla's job. How's a diva in the WWE going to keep her job without her knee?
Oh. Well, she's got another one. She doesn't need to be on
board. She's still got her back.
Think about it.
Wow.
Alan wasn't expecting that, Omega.
Obviously not.
Subtlety. We don't have it.
Yeah, subtlety.
They just cross that PC line and go, we're over here, bitches, ha ha.
Yo, he's so funny.
I have worse.
I'm sure you do. I mean,
Alan, we are so far past the line. The line is a dot to us, okay?
Pretty much. I think it sucks because you just lost Karma Kong, whatever you want to call her. McTaker's gone home. Now you lose Layla. At least she left to a legit injury, and you know, props to her for working through that.
Oh my God, they might actually have to use Gail Kim.
Oh, that would be true.
No, no. You got to remember, they did just bring in AJ Lee and the other girl. What's her face?
Caitlin, I have such something. Hope for the division now.
There you go. Okay, well, guys, we're just about to head to roundtable, but before we do, a couple of quick news notes. Judy Carter is a lady who teaches stand-up comics and corporate speakers how to, you know, talk and be entertaining. She wrote a blog on comedyworkshops.com about how injured WWE superstar John Morrison came into her office last Monday morning. He hired her because he wants to be funnier in the ring, funnier in his interviews, and he's looking to give his career a bit of a jumpstart. Is this going to help John Morrison?
I think one of the few things Morrison doesn't have yet is enough experience working a mic. So if he's improving that in his time off, that speaks volumes right there. Even if he can't be present in the ring, he's building up what he knows is lacking in his game.
Mm-hmm.
And he might come back ready for that main event push that we have been wanting for him.
So this can only help him out, definitely. Absolutely. Maybe we'll find, when he finally comes back from injury and such, John Morrison that people are willing to, gamble on taking a chance on him actually carrying the company for a little bit. Somewhere down the road.
Who knows? He might actually be able to be so expressful just like his last opponent, R-Truth.
Who the fuck is Jimmy?
That's all the little Jimmies in the world. Oh, I saw it, Jimmy. And all I can think of is Jimmy is like slang for condom.
Thank you.
Mm. So basically, if you look at it, and this is a bit of a stretch, exceedingly subtle and very, very ethereal, Omega, but he's calling all of the people in the crowd a bunch of dickheads.
My, what an original heel.
There you go. Yeah. And of course, finally, last word from this week's WWE TV tapings. CM Punk has not re-signed a new contract. He's given indications he's going to be leaving WWE when the contract expires, even though the company is still trying to sign him. How big of a blow is this? CM Punk, one of your better heels on Raw, deciding not to re-up. Mace?
I don't see it. I see it more through the eyes of CM Punk. Think about it this way. He was the hottest heel on SmackDown for many, many months when he had the Straight Edge Society. When they were at their peak, what did they do? They got rid of Serena, they got rid of Luke. All of a sudden he's running with the new Nexus, which bombed something shocking.
Yeah.
And now he just doesn't have the same appeal as he did back then. If they're not going to utilize this guy's strengths, which is that straight edge gimmick, then why bother sticking around?
Very, very salient question. Very good point. So, Alan, Omega, you're CM Punk. What do you do? Do you consider going back to ROH now that they've got some kind of major TV deal, or do you entertain thoughts about entering talks with TNA?
Been in TNA already. I was there during the weekly pay-per-view.
Thank you, Alan.
Look how wonderful I was handled.
Yeah.
I don't think you do either one.
Okay.
I think you go the MVP route. Go work in Japan. Don't directly compete with the WWE. He's fine there, but right now he is completely underutilized. Does anyone even remember this guy has held world championships? Do you remember that time when, you know, we actually had faith enough to put the belt on him for a while? Mm-hmm. No.
We need Michael Cole out here to do the same thing he did the Swagger, Barry Swagger the way.
No, oh yeah, that was great. No one remembers champion? No one remembers when he was world champion.
What is Punk's a three-time WWE world champion and nobody knows?
Well, I thought it was funny that King is the one that brought it up and Cole's going, nobody knows.
Nobody remembers.
King's got his arm up. I just mentioned it.
So there it is, news and notes. I think it's about time we have a little bit of fun here with a little something called WTR Round Table.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy Round Table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
What the fuck was that?
Well, you were gone 1 week. I'm sure there was some chemicals leaking in the house somewhere, and I thought, hey, we need an intro.
It's all that toxic shit that's in the plastic for your little Transformer dolls.
Yeah, that's what happens. The plastic breaks down. It turns into like a gas that just
screws up. Biting the cars like they tell you never to do in the TV shows.
Yeah, you're overdosing on acetone. from the breakdown of the plastic, I think. I don't know.
All right.
Well, those cheap Japanese ones that he keeps importing.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Lead paint.
Yeah. Tonight's roundtable discussion. Karma. Question. How would you handle the situation with Karma to keep her a strong character pretty much 1 year from now after she gives birth and has a couple of months to recover from that and get the kid all settled down? Mace.
Well, it's sort of hard to write off a character that came in as strong as Kong did. And yes, I still call her Kong. I refuse to call her Karma.
Attaboy.
But she came in so strong, beating down every diva which way and the other. And now that it's come out that she is... Well, it's still rumor at the moment, I believe, that she's pregnant. But if she is, there's no real way to take her out that wouldn't involve a mass beating, which then would become... You know, a health risk. There's no real way to sort of to ride her off, keep her strong without that type of beatdown ending. Because that's what I was expecting on Monday night. Mm-hmm. When she broke down, dropped to her knees with the arms out, like ready, she was ready to take a beating, and nobody gave it to her. Which makes me go, okay. There's no. No real way to write her off that's not going to destroy her character at this point because it was such a strong introduction.
Mm-hmm. Omega. So.
Well, you have to keep a little bit of the psychotic side in her. There's a way to keep her presence around even though she's going to be gone for 9 months. When she came out to... basically destroy every single diva in the locker room. And she's standing there in the middle of the ring looking at all of them and suddenly she breaks down and cries. What you do with her is, okay, tomorrow night on Raw, she comes out, she admits that, okay, she's pregnant, she's out for 9 months. Go ahead and just say it on camera. The reason she broke down and started crying was because she is now unable to destroy all of these Barbie dolls around her. She's staring at this field that she wants to destroy, and she's in tears because she can't. And just let her vow to come back and eliminate all of them so that for the next 9 months, this locker room is terrified of her potential return.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alan.
This is just really tricky on how to handle this, because I said when I didn't watch it live, I watched it Tuesday morning while I was prepping for the show, and Mason's and Rock had both joked to me. I said, anything happen on Raw? And I said, zoom through all the way to the stuff with Karma. I'm going, Karma, uh-oh. And the way she came out to the ring, I was just going, like, what the hell is going on here? Mace is right. I don't know how you handle this, but Omega kind of has a point. Do you announce this? Because I can't think of anyone that's on that current roster that anybody knows is a mom. Or a stepmom or anything. I mean, they never, until Ashley Massaro left, she came out and announced that she has a special needs child at home or something along those lines. If she is pregnant, if it's something else, if there's a health scare of some kind here that's not pregnancy, then you need to do something, like you said, where the other divas take her out. You could do like they did with Big Show on Monday night with the great driving skills of Ricardo Rodriguez, who I hear now gives lessons. Mm-hmm. Something on those lines. If she physically can't take bumps, Tim, then you got a mega problem there.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to Pac-Man Jones and TNA wrestling where he was made a damn tag team champion. The dude never took a bump, never got touched. or anything like that. So it's tricky to do, but you can also handle it like you did when Edge had his spinal fusion thing done, or Rhino did, or Benoit did. Anyone that had a spinal fusion or some injury that kept them out. Look, Triple H was gone for God knows how long, if I can remember, with his quad, and then he came back at Royal Rumble, Madison Square Garden in 2002. The place popped like crazy. And he was never really on TV other than they showed injury footage, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tricky situation. It depends. If she is pregnant and she decides, you know what, I'd rather be a full-time mommy, then this was all a big waste and this blows up in WWE's face.
Big time. And, Kia winds up, with a great big huge stain on her resume if that's the case. Now, here's a supposition for you. You could go one of two ways. Yeah, she is expected, according to reports all throughout the interwebs this past week. Tomorrow night, we are expected to hear her talk on Raw for the first time. Now,
oh, God, no. No, you don't want her talking on camera, Tim.
If she's pregnant, do they use that as a storyline, name somebody in the locker room, or even maybe Vince himself as the father? Or, if you will, Mark Henry.
Can we skip the Who's the Daddy storyline?
Yeah, the Who's the Daddy thing, yeah. I don't think you do that just because it would expose too much of the vulnerable side of Karma.
Okay, now here's the other thing that you could try. And I want everybody's thoughts and opinions on this one. So you could either do what they're famous for doing, blurring the lines of story and the lines of reality, and incorporate this pregnancy into some kind of an angle. Or she broke down in the middle of the ring and cried, surrounded by all the pretty divas, because she suffered some kind of a breakdown. She's somewhat psychotic. They admit her in to a mental hospital. She has therapy sessions. They actually show a year's worth of therapy sessions where she's just sitting there and she's got tears running down and she's alternating laughing while she's crying and just looking, and then just looking totally miserable and had enough of life, and then looking like she's ready to kick the shit out of somebody and flick their heads off or something like that. But she's in therapy. She's psychotic. She had a breakdown. She's getting better, slowly but surely. Finally, the doctor says, okay, you're healed, you're good to go, you're cleared. She comes back to WWE, and for two shows, she's like sane. And then she reverts to psychotic Karma, who wants to flick the head off all the blonde-headed Barbie dolls again. And this is WWE's plan to keep her relevant for the next 9-plus months, upwards of a year, by showing these vignettes without her actually having to be in the ring or in the crowd or doing anything.
But once again, it falls back to, is Kia going to want to do this? I've met her. Rock's heard her talk on other radio programs. When she opens her mouth, game over.
Yeah, she sounds like too much of a little girl sweetheart. She reminds me of what's her name from the Police Academy movies.
Yeah, she's that Hooks from the Police Academy.
With the really high-pitched, very squeaky, very quiet voice. That's Kia in real life.
But what you described, I'm sorry, I just want to jump in real quick. What you described sounds like what TNA tried to do with Abyss.
Yeah.
And look how wonderful that went.
Well, again, Abyss. We're talking about the machine that is WWE, and they have a habit of hooking their audience a lot easier than TNA does, because they got a bigger audience to hook, which makes it easier when you do things like this. And who's to say that she can't growl when she talks or alter her voice? I mean, it's been known to happen before. Rock, what do you think? You got an opinion?
I really don't have an opinion. I was just going to play this.
This is former TNA Knockout, Awesome Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
To sample her voice so people get a general idea.
That's what she sounds like in real life.
That's
see,
not
and
Hooks.
Yeah, but on the phone, she's pumping it up. When she's standing in front of you, Omega, she's even softer than that.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about her, trying to play this, psychotic and sadistic character. You can make a quiet, high-pitched voice work. I mean, that voice goes from friendly and almost innocent sounding to very creepy if all you do is add like a tremble to it. If she's just like she's introverted, like she's just, very, very held in, just not even sure what she's going to say kind of vibe to her voice. You could make it work. I mean, even with silent voice, I mean, I would equate it to Mick Foley when he would talk very quietly during Mankind promos.
Well, okay, here's something. Of the three of you, do you guys know who Archie the Snarper Goldie is?
This is where everybody looks at Alan.
What are we doing?
Alan, do you know the wrestler Archie the Stomper?
Yeah, Archie the Stomper Goldie.
Yeah. Omega, have you got a clue?
Stampede Wrestling, brother. It's one of your big heels.
Yeah.
Not remotely a clue.
Okay, well, he was a really, really big heel in Stampede Wrestling, but this back in the day when, territories were the huge thing, and he wrestled in all of the major territories, not just Stampede. And he was a huge heel in all the territories, not just Stampede. Now, there's one storyline that Stu Hart came up with, this one angle. Bad News Allen, Bad News Brown, the absolute biggest bad guy in the Stampede territory in history. Okay? And the storyline is, he broke Archie the Stomper's son's neck at a wrestling show. And the kid wasn't even wrestling. He was just standing at ringside cheering on his dad. And Bad News Allen breaks his neck. Well, instead of absolutely going totally crazy and spazzing out and getting weird about it, at the end of the show, Archie the Stomper Goldie cut what, in my opinion, is the absolute textbook lesson on how to cut the perfect promo. He did not raise his voice. He did not scream. He did not yell. He did not rant and rave and rage. He talked very quietly, and he talked about his family, and he talked about his son, and he talked about how terrible Bad News Allen was for breaking his son's neck and how he was going to get revenge and how nothing would stop him. And it was all done very, very quietly. You had to turn up the volume on the TV to actually hear what he was saying. And it was the most effective thing you have ever heard. Google it on, don't Google it. Go to YouTube and type in Archie the Stomper promo. And I'm sure you'll find that promo. It's on YouTube. So check it out if and when you guys ever get the chance to actually get a first-hand earful of what I'm talking about here. You don't need somebody to go up and down the scales with their voice to convey, by telling her, listen, when you finally do talk and you're going to wind up, it's going to be months down the road before you say anything to the doctor. Technically, quote unquote, months down the road before you even start talking to the doctor. You do it very quietly, almost whisper when you talk to get your feelings out there and make people believe that you're in some kind of a quicksand and quagmire. Alan?
Oh, Ollie Anderson's one of my people always say to me, I have a low voice when I talk on the show. Well, Ole Anderson once said it best. I don't do a lot of cute things. I don't hoot and holler. Come out here and I tell you what I'm going to do and I go and I do it. You know, and there's got to be a way to do it. And that's the problem. And how do you do this? I guess we'll find out tomorrow night on Raw in the next few weeks.
Quite possibly.
Can I just bring this up quickly? And it's been rolling around in my head since last week.
Yeah.
Could this just be, you know, Kong could come out and say that this has been a misunderstanding? You know, her coming out and beating the Divas down was her way of getting the attention of the locker room. You know, she wants to be accepted, but she doesn't know how.
I'm not pretty enough, and I want you to help me be pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
But then again, you also run the gamut of it's going to completely ruin her character. Let's face it. Kong's not getting out of this without some damage to her gimmick.
You've already ruined the gimmick. It's destroyed.
Hi, Spug!
Spug! It's over. You're not... You've already destroyed all that you've created over the past month and a half. You know, she should have, when she got down to the ring, if they knew what was going on with her, and if all the reports are about her injury are true and the amount of time that she's going to be out is true, we can kind of assume what's going on by putting two and two together and doing the math. You could have had a couple of the Divas really sell for her, and as she went to climb up into the ring, you know, scattered. The only one that wouldn't have made any sense powdering out would have been Beth Phoenix. But a couple of punches and a clothesline, you know, will quell that real quick. And then you do the mysterious Big Show thing. You just see Kong laying in the heap in the back. You don't say who did it, you know, what happened. Gimmick intact, character intact, and she can be out. She can be put out for her injury.
We're also going off the assumption that she was pregnant, Spock.
Whatever. You know, whatever it was, is, doesn't matter. You've destroyed a gimmick. You had all that wonderful promo work, and you've just destroyed it.
The unfortunate thing is, if she is pregnant, there are very few ways to get out of it and not destroy that gimmick.
I just gave you one.
No, I'm really hoping on Monday that they find out a way without making her look emotionally or physically weak. Because either way, she's not the unstoppable force that they booked her as, or she's not the psycho they booked her as. Either way, you've done damage.
I agree entirely. There are ways to have booked it to have gotten, I mean, the way you could have booked it last Monday, and there's several ways you could have done it to get out of there without her damaging all the work that they put into it and put into the character. Unfortunately, they did none of it, and now they're stuck with this.
Well, I guess we find out where they're going to start going as early as tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. And everybody, that was the WTR Roundtable.
This would be the Roundtable. Anthony Dancy Roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Alrighty then. Alright, hey everybody, stick around. We're gonna take our next time out of the evening. We're coming back right on the other side of this time out with the Great Debate. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Barry, Candice McDowell,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Bret the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay tuned.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the Million Dollar Man,
and welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And just jumping right into it, it's time for the great debate.
I vote Warrior.
I'm still waiting for Mace to do a great debate intro here to see if you can do it all on the fly like Omega did, but different.
No, not going to happen, Tim. I don't think so, Tim.
Spud, do you want to give it a shot?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Alan.
I doubt you're going to get one out of him.
Alan, off the top of your head, just do a great debate intro thing. Theme.
Tim, you really want one? You really, really want one?
Hang on a second. Omega, you did such a job on, Roundtable. You want to do a great debate one?
Absolutely not.
How about you get off your lazy ass and do it yourself, Tim?
Oh, fuck, I'm not doing it. Forget it.
But this one's not a sham.
There you go. Anyway, you were going to say something, Rock?
I don't think so, Tim.
There you go. I was waiting for that. It took you guys this fucking long to play a Tool Time clip. Wow.
That's because we didn't want to go with the same tired, worn-out jokes, which seems to be your territory.
There you go.
Listen, to the great debate. Get to the great debate. No debating each other. Debate.
You weren't most of the show, so you aren't allowed to say shit like that. But here it is. Great debate.
Yes, I am.
The great debate. Tonight. Bobby the Brain Heenan takes on Paul Heyman. J.J. Dillon squares off versus the Grand Wizard. Classy, Freddie Blassie, staring down that pencil neck geek Bill Alfonso, and Jim Cornette, eyeballs, Ted DiBiase. We're going to start with Alan, and we're going to start with James Cornette versus Ted DiBiase.
For me, it's Cornette. Midnight Express, one of the better tag teams you'll ever see in any incarnation, be it Loverboy Dennis and Beautiful Bobby or Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan. And, you know, got Yokozuna there, got Yokozuna to the bell with Mr. Fuji, which was a good thing, being Fuji's age at the time. Mm-hmm. And the guy made crap out of nothing. Do I need to show you the new heavenly bodies with Del Rio and Pritchard, or the new Midnight Express with Bodacious Bob and Bart Gunn? And
Bombastic Bob.
Yeah, Bombastic Bob. That's what it was. And Bodacious Bart. Tells you how much I wanted to talk about that one. And DiBiase was really good, but what did he really do in the long run? He walked to the ring with a few cats in 94. No offense to him.
Okay, so round one goes to Jim Cornette. Moving over to Omega. Omega, you're round two, by the way.
I'm round two.
Yeah.
Man, I really like both of these guys, but I don't know. When I think Ted DiBiase, I don't think him as the manager. I mean, he did fine as a manager, but you know, I know him for the personality he had in the ring, which yeah. I don't think conveyed very well to the guys he brought down to the ring. It conveyed well to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jim Cornette really did play off really well against the. You know, with the people he managed, he was one of those that just had this really good personality for working with his talent rather than, honestly, upstaging them in the case of DiBiase sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my vote would be Cornette.
All right, two rounds, Jim Cornette, and we move on to Mace.
Cornette face. End of story.
Do you really have to say anything else?
I don't need to say anything else. The dude is forever immortalized on the internet for Cornette face.
Okay.
DiBiase doesn't do anything close to that.
There you
get
go.
Him on a t-shirt fast. We'll talk with him soon.
Cornette's put it on a t-shirt, actually.
Okay, yeah, there you go. So at 3-0, looks like Cornette's going to wind up winning. Let's see if he does it in a walk. Spug.
DiBiase.
Dude, you're just doing that, prick.
Wait, hold on. He couldn't vote DiBiase last week, yet this week, straight out the gate, DiBiase.
You know why? Because DiBiase, for some strange reason, got voted in last week, so fuck it, might as well do it this week too. Fuck him. Fuck DiBiase. Goddamn sham. It's a sham! Conspiracy, I tell you.
So do you really want to throw away your vote? Because, you know, your vote matters.
My vote doesn't matter because it's not going it doesn't matter for shit.
Man, really. Very hard 2 weeks ago with Gertner. So.
Spunk, you got to cut out the Percocet. Seriously, man. Jesus.
Tim, make a vote and let's move on.
All right. It's Cornette face. Bottom line. End of story. Ted DiBiase is probably best remembered by what? Of wrestling fans, aside from bringing an Undertaker, as being the guy trying to buy Hulk Hogan's championship belt. More so than being a manager for people other than Undertaker. So,
if you could hear Andre the Giant, he never bought Hulk Hogan's world championship title. He bought the world tag team championship titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on a second. This calls for something. Just to get through the rest of the night. There we go. So, yeah, Cornette, by a vote of bloody 4-1. Thanks a lot, Spug. Yeah. All right. You listen up, pencil neck geeks. Classy, Freddie Blassie taking on Bill Alfonso. Mace, round one.
I'm going to go with what will eventually be the unpopular decision, and I'm going to go with Bill Alfonso.
Can't believe you said
classic that. Classic as Freddie Blassie is... I never really got to see him as a manager. I have seen Bill Alfonso as a manager, and as annoying as Fonzie was with the whistle and the high-pitched squealy voice, I still remember him as being the manager that you could never take your eyes off because he was always loud and obnoxious.
Okay.
It works.
All right, so there's one for Bill Alfonso, somewhat of a surprise coming from Mace. I think that could be safely tagged as Omega round two.
I'm going to end up voting against RVD's manager here.
No way.
I'm sorry. Okay, he's an obnoxious whistle and a voice that sounds like he's gargling hot asphalt. I just could never get past any of that. I will go with the classic Freddie Blassie here.
All right, so it's tied up one round to one, and we're moving on to round three. Spug.
Blassie. I mean, yeah, Fonzie had Sabu, he had RVD, he had the whistle, and he had things that made, that helped himself get over, but, I mean, classy Freddie Blassie, dude, he's an iconic manager. When you list some of the greatest managers of all time, he's always near the top. Always. Yeah.
At or near the top. So there we go. Taking the lead would be classy Freddie. Alan!
It's gotta be classy Freddie. I mean, the guy was, forget his managerial stuff for a moment. Everybody talks about the golden age of TV when it happened in the 50s and Vern Gagne was everywhere. Well, classy Freddie Blassie was right there next to Gorgeous George in people's minds. People of my dad's era, my grandfather's era know Freddie Blassie is this evil guy who would sharpen his teeth to bite people's faces. And when you saw him transition to managing in the late 70s, people may not remember it. I only remember from seeing it on video that he was Hulk Hogan's original manager in the late 70s, early 80s. And then, of course, managed the Iron Sheik when Skolin threw in the towel. So he's got a world heavyweight champion to his reign. Granted, it was a month. He has the world tag team champions of the Sheik and Koloff. Oh, sorry, Volkov, and as Buck said, it's that iconic image, the promos alone. He made his guys look vicious, the pencil neck geek thing and all that other stuff. And I mean, the guy had breakfast with Blassie. It's one of the greatest documentaries you'll ever watch. Find it online.
There you go. Well, again, not a total sweep, but I'm going with classy Freddie Blassie. I mean, what other manager has been so reviled and repulsed the fans so much? What happened to classy Freddie Blassie? What did a fan do to him?
He didn't get stabbed.
He had acid thrown on him. He had stabbings.
Somebody shot at him once.
Yeah. He had stuff in the LA territory when he was out there working with John Tolos. He talked about it in his book that they would have their tires slashed and people throwing coffee at them. I'm like, good.
In LA?
God.
Really?
Yep.
Back in the 50s, yeah. Not during the Rodney King era that we all saw on TV.
No, this was even before the Rodney King era, where that kind of stuff was not only acceptable, but expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, so classy Freddie Blassie moves on, as well as James E. Cornett. Up next, J.J. Dillon versus the Grand Wizard, Allen.
And I was about to type into the private chat here. I don't like these next two, because this sucks, because I like all four of these managers, you bastards.
I'll deal with it.
Oh, man. Well, when we had him on our World of Wrestling Radio, Rock, Mace, and Spug testified as JJ really didn't think he was up there in the echelon of Bobby Heenan. And he's a Bobby Heenan, was the greatest manager of all time. And
by the way, that little interview is what brought this great debate on.
Absolutely. Find it on wildtalkradio.com or owradio.com. It was awesome. And it cost Spug fun out with his friends and family and stuff. I still
just my friends.
Yeah, still owe him for that. Yeah, yeah. I'm doing a good job of stalling here because this sucks.
Pick one.
Fudge.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
J.J. Dillon, move on. I feel bad. I'm going to go in a corner and hide for a couple minutes.
Okay, while we let Alan hide in the corner and cry, we'll move on to Mace.
J.J. Dillon managed the Horseman. Enough said.
There you go. Okay, J.J. and J.J. Spug.
Dylan, he started off managing Tully Blanchard and ended up managing one of the most prolific and historical groups in all of wrestling history. You know, you cannot, people held up, you hold up four fingers in a wrestling arena today and people know exactly what the hell you're talking about.
It's iconic.
Absolutely. You do not forget the Four Horsemen. Even children know who the Four Horsemen are. You know, it's one of those groups that spans generations and things like that. It's J.J. Dillon.
All right, J.J. Dillon, are you going to work at trying to make it an Animus Omega?
Yeah, I am.
Really?
I really don't need to say anything else. When you manage the Horsemen, yeah, you get my vote.
All right. Yeah, well, all I can say is four-finger salute, dude. And so we have our first sweep of the night, at least. Now, here's one that, Alan, you got a quick point?
Yeah, well, the thing with the Grand Wizard is, Superstar Billy Graham said it best in a couple of interviews he did, the Kayfabe Commentaries DVD he did with Sean Oliver. When he was assigned the Grand Wizard, he's like, I, no offense to Ernie Roth, was the Wizard's real name. He's like, I don't need him. I'm a promo machine on my own. All he's gonna do there is help me undress and this and that. So, no, it's no slight to the Grand Wizard. I mean, I don't, it's hard. This was a hard one for me to do, but as everybody else just said here, when we talked to him, our site got blasted. Our email box got blasted when we told people we were having J.J. Dillon on Online World of Wrestling Radio. People were just like, you got J.J. Dillon? I was like, yeah, we're cool.
Yeah,
next one sucks even worse. I can't believe you guys made this next matchup. This ain't fair. It's a sham and a conspiracy of epic proportions. Where's conspiracy,
all right,
brother, when you need him?
Why in Mr. Tuesday night?
Mutant.
God. You're worse than a woman, 1 week out of the month. You know that? My goodness. Quit your bitching. And I'm sure if the Grand Wizard's listening tonight, he accepts your qualified apology for not picking him.
He's long dead, unfortunately. There's nothing he can do about it.
Well, they quit qualifying. Final matchup of the night, and this one I'm saving for last because I'm looking at this, and this has got to be the toughest decision of all of them. The absolute hardest one to go through. Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Paul E. Dangerously Paul Heyman Omega.
This actually isn't too hard for me. I will always be a Bobby Heenan fan. I mean, Paul Heyman, great. I mean, he's iconic in WCW. I even liked his run with Brock Lesnar. But Heenan was everything you'd ever want in a manager. I honestly don't think anyone's gonna compare.
Bobby the Brain takes the first one, Mace.
Well, before I mention this, I'll quickly address, Tony on the chat room. I don't believe Akbar is in this, but then again, the list that we originally came out with was something like 60 odd managers long, and we had to sit there and cut and cut and cut. So a lot of people didn't make the cut as we try to keep these as manageable as possible. If you
it was a big list, dude. Big list.
That being said, I'm gonna go Bobby the Brain Heenan, only because, well, I'm Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mark. But Heyman, I more see him as the mastermind behind ECW, not so much the good old Paulie Dangerously that he used to be back in WCW with the Dangerous Alliance. But, you know, Bobby Heenan, he's just Bobby. You have to give it out to him because, well, you have no choice.
The Weasel, all right, all you humanoids. What say you, Spug?
Heenan. I mean, Paulie was great with the Dangerous Alliance. He was great with Steve and Pillman. I mean, he was a great manager. He's a fantastic manager. The problem is that people overlook that and go straight to what he did with ECW,
yep.
which is just as influential and just as prolific. I mean, the dude can talk. He's got all the qualities of a manager you would want and need to get your talent over. It's just he went on to do something bigger and better. That's it.
Oh,
so I have to give the vote to Heenan.
There you go. Well, unanimous number two with me coming on here. I'm going to say Bobby the Brain. Yeah, Paul Heyman, an absolute evil genius. Don't get me wrong. This is not to belittle Paulie at all. I mean, absolutely fantastic. But it's been pointed out by more than one member of this panel. He's more well-known, more famous, or infamous, if you will, for doing up ECW and doing absolutely everything right except keeping the fucking books. But, Bobby Heenan, the weasel is the weasel, and if you're not down with that, then I suggest you humanoids figure something out. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
So as I jump in now, the next matchups are Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Jimmy Hart, Jim Cornette versus Captain Lou, Freddie Blassie versus Mr. Fuji, and J.J. Dillon versus Joel Gertner.
You're really trying to stack the deck against Tina, aren't you?
To be fair, that's the only way this is fair to have Heenan in it.
He's got a point.
Apparently Tim forgot Alan. Yeah.
Did I forget you, Alan? I thought you already...
I'm very forgettable.
Well, that's because you never talk or anything like that. We don't notice you. All right, Alan. Bobby or Paul?
It's got to be Bobby Heenan. He transitioned the sport. Everybody remembers him from his WWE days, but there's another fan base that remembers him as the manager of Ray Stevens and Nick Bockwinkel for years. In the AWA, I think they had the AWA World Tag Titles for 3 years, even before Mr. Bockwinkel became world champion. And Heenan said it best on his own DVD, if you stay with me, you're going to go places. If you don't, you know, you're going to go to the toilet. The only thing that I always hated and felt so bad is that Bobby never got the world title. For any of his talent, you had Intercontinental Champions, you had World Tag Team Champions, but nobody ever actually got to pass him. I mean, Flair did, but Flair really didn't, because Flair, he was more sitting in the commentary booth. And you know, and once again, it's not a slight to Paul. No, I'm a fan of the Dangerous Alliance back in the day, and unfortunately I wear the Scarlet ECW on my shirt, not being a fan of the product, but I remember him coming in with Brock Lesnar and just going, hey, cool, Paul's doing something. But J.J. Dillon said Bobby Heenan's the greatest manager of all time. You really want me to argue with J.J. Dillon?
Not happening. I dare you.
No.
Okay, so it is a clean sweep. There you go. All right, and you heard the matchups next week. I think right now it's time for us to do the last thing of the night. We call that Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, and here it is with Quick Hits, final segment of the night. We're going to fly right through these and then go home. And we'll start off with Omega and your first question. What's your favorite announcer catchphrase?
Vintage.
No.
By God. No. No, it's not vintage, and it's not "and I quote" either.
By God. Oh my God.
You know what? It probably is Joey Styles. Oh my God. It was just so on point. I mean, that's whenever he said that, it was to a moment that that's really the only thing you could say that fit.
Especially with everything that they did in ECW. Oh, my God. All right. Mine is, it's going to be a ring-a-ding-dong dandy.
Cat fight! Cat fight! Puppies!
Let's see. Spug! What's your favorite Vader moment?
Which Vader? Darth?
Time he took over the, yeah.
The wrestler genius.
Time he walked onto the Death Star? Yeah.
The kitchen, it is that way.
English motherfucker, do you speak it? No, wait, that was something else.
Kids, or GTFO. I don't know. The look on Shawn Michaels' face when Vader came off the top rope in that moonsault.
Shit, I'm gonna die?
Yeah. Yeah, because next to Bill DeMott, I think Vader's probably the lightest big man on his feet I've seen.
Okay. Well, acceptable base, your first question of the night. Who would you like to see Sin Cara have a long program with?
The unemployment office. As good as he is, like, hear me out on this one. As good as he is, unfortunately, by the looks of things, he's not willing to slow himself down to work WWE style, and none of the guys in today's WWE are able to speed up enough to keep up with him. I think it was a good signing for the sake of, look at us, we have something flashy with mood lighting and eventually some romantic music. But he doesn't sort of fit, like, in Mexico, I've seen his matches in Mexico, brilliantly done. But in the WWE, I'd rather him go back to Mexico where his talent can be appreciated and used to its full potential. He's wasting his time in the WWE.
Okay, well, I think that we're going to stick with you, Mace, for question number two. What the hell? Who's the best trash talker currently in wrestling?
Best trash talker? And I'm surprised that this name is going to be said, but then again, I did the horrible thing of watching Impact. Ken Anderson.
You didn't.
Oh, I did. And any man talk Sting while talking and bringing the Disco Inferno back to television.
Yeah, Impact did have a merit this week of bringing back, you know, bringing Disco Inferno onto television. So, okay. You get a pass this week.
Plus, how much does he look like the old beach bum Sting?
That was scary.
Yeah. Mind you, I have to wonder, is that Sting's old ring gear?
For his teenage budget, it would just be easier for them to get something out of Sting's closet than make something.
There you go. Okay, so next question goes to Spug. Spug, who is the best trash talker of all time?
The Rock was always good. Austin was great at it, but...
Piper,
hold on, shut up.
No leading the competition, please.
And Piper was
George.
And Piper was good. But I have to go with old Saggy Mantits and Ric Flair. His ability to cut a promo and trash talk transcends farther than anybody has been able to recreate yet.
Watch out for that arrest warrant.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Final question of the night. goes to Omega. Are you ready for this one, Omega?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, this kind of refers to the very first news item that we had. So, brace yourself.
Uh-huh.
What excites you more? One night in Lita or backdoor into China? Oh, by the way, that's the title of the porn movie she's going to be starring in. Backdoor into China.
Chowdy's going to throw up all over us.
Oh, God, what the fuck?
Not miss for a month.
His head's going to explode, guys. Get ready for
You're paying his therapy bill, Stein.
Fuck no. I didn't answer. I didn't come up with a question.
Oh,
you
God.
Pay up.
Okay, in porno form, it would probably be the Lita video. Just because, Joni Lauer, I mean, God. I like to at least be able to identify the gender of the porn star, at the very least. So I would pick the Lita porn, but only in video form, never...
So, one night in Lita with a caveat.
I might
night in Lita with a carrot.
I might contract something just from the video. I'm not sure.
You might wind up with eye herpes. Who knows?
Eye herpes. There you go. It would not be surprising from Lita, the woman who owns a diaphragm with a restrictor plate.
Oh! Slow the fuck down! Oh. And I just, in closing, would like to apologize for the questions. I didn't think them up. You can blame the producer. Everybody, that is WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio for this Sunday, May 29th, 2011. We're back at it next Sunday night. But in the meantime, we got a whole week of shit that we're going to take care of, starting on Tuesday night with OWW Radio and your host, Alan Mojikwakun.
Yep, we've got, as mentioned earlier, Orlando Jordan and Luke Hawks are going to be on promoting Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, their training facility they're opening in Louisiana in the next few weeks. You guys had AJ from Tough Enough on, and it looks like we're going to have Ryan Howe, who was eliminated, had the unfortunate nickname of Skid Marks. I don't know why.
Fuck him.
We are in talks with ROH on someone from their administrative offices to come on and talk about the Sinclair Media purchase. And you never know what's coming in the next weeks ahead. I really wish we had Brock Lesnar, but a foot of your colon being removed? Yeah, I accept that as an excuse for not being on the show last week.
Well, even with a foot of colon gone, he's still a huge asshole.
Bravo, Omega.
Oh, that was good. Good one, Omega. Good one. All right, Wednesday night, of course, OTL, Omega. What you doing?
It's the geek news of the week. Hopefully, this is the unfortunate thing because Wednesday, we were very low on news topics, but Thursday, they just start springing up left and right.
And so you got a lot of shit to talk about.
E3 preview special, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I did Superman. That Spider-Man musical. Anybody died yet?
Not yet, but the betting pool is open.
Okay.
I can reveal that we can actually see a performance of one of the songs that was done on American Idol, which includes Jennifer Lopez dissing Spider-Man.
Oh, right on. I was just going to ask what the pool is up to now, Omega.
$6.
Wow, that's hefty.
Yeah, well, we take our bets seriously.
Yeah, you pulled all the punches. Of course, this Saturday night, CB Radio, midnight-ish, or as close as he can get it, Rock.
Yeah, as close as I can get to a co-host actually paying attention. But maybe we'll have Subway back. Tune in, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. And, of course, more merriment and mayhem on Russell Talk Radio.
Did you wait. Wait, you used the word mayhem on this show?
Oh, I said merriment in mayhem.
But you used the
word I wasn't talking about that one.
But she used the word mayhem. No ever using that word ever again on the show.
Okay, more clashing and chaos next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with another edition of Rust Talk Radio. Everybody, have yourself a ham-tastic long weekend. And, you know, Memorial Day in the United States, nothing better than a salute to the troops for tomorrow. Happy Memorial Day.
Not just the troops.
You Americans.
It's not just the troops. It's salute firefighters, police officers, EMS workers, anybody who has risked their life to save your dumb ass from doing something stupid.
There you go. And nobody knows anything about doing something stupid better than Spike. That being said, we're out of here. Have a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night.
WildTalkRadio.com